Well, ladies, the time has flown, has it not? And here we are ready to say goodbye to one another. Alice and I have come from afar, and we are returning thither. We will be leaving right away. So I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your very warm welcome to both of us. Thank you for the wonderful meals, for the hospitality. Thank you for the warmth of your response to God's word. Thank you just for accepting us. It is a great privilege to have been here, and believe me, neither of us will leave without committing in our hearts to pray for those who have spoken to both of us personally. You have some heavy burdens in this room. Please know that we shall take these burdens with us. A burden shared is half a burden, isn't it? And we will bring them before the Lord. I would like you to pray for me as I return at the beginning of the week to my duties in Wisconsin. And then there are two more conferences that I'm going to be involved in, one up in Canada and one in Cincinnati at the end of the month of October. So I do not take these invitations lightly nor easily, and they do take a lot out of one. You do not give yourself to prayer and to the speaking of the word without recognizing your own frailties, your own faults, Amen. Your own edges that the Lord needs to work on. So if you ever remember me, I would appreciate a kind thought and a wee prayer. I trust that the sharing of God's word from this beautiful epistle, this letter, has encouraged your hearts. And above all, I am trusting that you will go home to open it up again and get a lot more out of it, and then keep going. Look at other prison letters. They're clearly marked out for you. And take little notes as you go along. Get yourself a little Walmart notebook and take your own response to these. Anybody could do it. A child can do it. I remember once finding a little notebook that my little son was about 8 at the time, and he had been studying Philippians. And in his notebook, I found there were two women in here who didn't like each other. And we're going to be reading about them in a minute. But he got that. He was just a young child. But we had encouraged them, my husband and I, our children, to make their own little Bible studies. And then it was years later that I found this little notebook. There were two women who didn't like each other. It had made an impression. Have you enjoyed this letter?
Yes.
I can't believe the responses I'm getting from all of you, that it has clearly touched chords in your own heart and experience. As you look upon places that you are and have been, you didn't want to be, but how Paul is still writing about victory. Well, we are going to just take the rest of the time now to go through the third and fourth chapter. There are only four of them. And we will be culling from them the main points for you so that you can go home and do your own work. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Let's pause there. What kind of literature is this? It's a letter. And it is a real letter. And as is common for many real letters that we write, we'd say, well, that's it. But it's not a good thing. Look, there's another chapter to go. I bring this to your attention to show that we have a real author. Here's a man who's going to sum it all up finally, and he doesn't do any such thing. Don't you love that? It never ends. As I would pull you aside and say, look, I've one last word for you. And 20 minutes later, I'm still going on. Isn't that lovely? So never be ashamed of keeping going on in your prayers. Lord, I've one final prayer request. And then you find yourself still going on. This is good going on. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I would invite you on tomorrow or Monday, whenever you start, to read it again and take down every time the Apostle Paul uses the word joy or rejoice. Joy is great, isn't it? Because joy is transcendent. Now, what in the world do I mean by that? Simply that joy lifts you out of your boots. Happiness keeps you in your boots, does it not? But there's a huge difference. And it's not that the Lord wants us to be unhappy. He doesn't. I've often heard, well, you know, the Lord only wants us to be joyful. He's not interested in our happiness. He is. He is our Father. He's our Abba. He wants you and me to be happy. But he doesn't want us to be finding happiness in areas and in things that won't last. Joy is lasting. It's what you already have, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come into you. The Holy Spirit is already there. So he springs up within you, as God's word says in John. Living waters springing up within you to refresh you, to keep you going on. So do rejoice. Rejoice that you are a Christian. Rejoice that you belong to him. And I guarantee you, you are rejoicing in the Lord. You're rejoicing because of him. You're rejoicing despite adversity. And you're rejoicing in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Now, Paul keeps going. He repeats himself. That's fine. It's a good thing for us to keep on hearing these repeated exhortations and warnings. A couple of bewares. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice. There's another one for you on Monday morning. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Let me just briefly I give these cautions in distilled form. Look, don't put any confidence in outward ritual. That's what he's saying. We are saved by faith, faith in Christ. Paul was a Jew who had been very zealous as a Jew. He's about to spell it out, who he was. His whole biography is given here. Don't put any strength or any energy into doing ritualistic things that you think are going to bring you closer to heaven. They won't. It has all been done. We've been singing it. It is finished. The cross has taken care of our sins. The cross of Jesus Christ. You don't need to add to that. And you certainly don't need to be involved in a self-mutilation, doing yourself harm almost to make your way to heaven. You are already going to heaven. No confidence in the flesh doesn't mean that Scripture is endorsing behavior that is always cutting yourself down. That's not what it means at all. The Lord wants us to have a bit of confidence. Have confidence that there is a good life for you out there. Have confidence that you can keep a job. Have confidence that the Lord will bring someone into your life who will be good to you if you are a single woman. Have confidence if you have three children and if you're a single mother or even a mother with a husband that he'll give you the strength and help to teach them. But don't be saying, I can do it all in my strength. Obviously not. Then, for the sake of time, Paul gives a little biography of who he was, the tribe of Benjamin. He persecuted the church, etc. And then in verse 7, he simply says, look, what things were gained, I count it loss for Christ. Let me tell you about my granny. My grandmother Mary came to know the Lord, came alive in Christ. That's the original meaning. It's lovely, isn't it? Saved, regenerated. She became alive in Christ when she was 19. She was promptly shown the door by her parents, who were high church. They didn't want any religious nut, as they thought, living in their house. My grandmother never saw them again. That's right. She brought up 10 children, of whom my mother, Grace, was right in the middle. I didn't know her. She died when I was a little one. But from my mother, I learned a lot of what my grandmother had to suffer for the sake of Christ. My mother remembers her reading the newspaper and finding in the obituary that her parents had died, that a brother had been killed. And she remembers her mother weeping. They didn't want anything to do with her and never did. And she died without them ever wanting anything to do with her. She counted everything loss for the sake of Christ. And she brought up a godly family. And I believe with all my heart that that woman prayed for me, even though I was only about 3 or so when she died. And I have a very remote memory of a woman in bed with a little black velvet purse with coins in it. That's all I have is a legacy of memory. But I have much more. I have the power of her prayers that I'm sure shaped her grandchildren. One day I was told by a colleague that I was a useless woman on a campus. I didn't belong there. I belonged in a Sunday school room, but certainly not on a university campus. I went home and cried to the Lord to comfort me. And I rarely open at random. I don't believe in that. I like the orderly use of scripture. But I opened up in despair and I read what things were gained to me. I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The interesting thing is that the word this man used on me, rubbish, was a word that is not flattering. In the original, it is a very strong word. And that was the word, the ugly word that he had used on me. And yet I open up in the old King James, I count him but dung, that I may win him. And God has been faithful to me on that campus. And I say that for your encouragement. If you have to stand up for Christ, be counted worthy of belonging to him, God will honor you. Him that honors God, I will honor. It's a promise. We press on. Do you want to live victoriously? The power of Christ is yours. It is resurrection power, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Ladies, dying to sin is part of victorious living. It's that simple. What are the habits that you have that are keeping you back, maybe? Chuck them. Just get rid of them. If they're keeping you back, bad old habits, just get rid of them. Die to it. When Christ died on the cross, you died with him because he died for your sins. What's keeping you back? Paul in verse 11 is clearly not expressing any doubt that he's going to be resurrected himself. So that's what the verse doesn't mean. What he is saying is that his desire to live like one who had been raised with Christ is what he wants. Do you have a bit of power in your life? Resurrection power. Again, the same transcendent power. It lifts you out of your boots. It's different than the kind of strength that you get in the world. That's the power that Christ offers to you. Let us press on, because I know you're going to be reading a lot of this for yourself. Verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. Now, for those of you who are tracking my theme, what was the theme verse of chapter 1? Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And what was the theme verse of chapter 2? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here is our third letter. So if anybody asks you what kind of a conference you had, said it was a wonderful salad with a lot of lettuce. Remember it that way. Just a little hook. Let us be of the same mind. Well, what kind of mind is that? Is Paul saying to you and me that we should all be unanimous in everything? We should all dress alike? That we should all do everything just that is robotic? Like little robots walking along? Not at all. The Word of God respects our personality. But there's such a thing, ladies, as unity. And the Word of God teaches that within a fellowship, we need unity. Amen. You need to set aside petty things. If someone gets on your nerves, pray for her. I guarantee you, if you pray long enough, you'll come to love that sister more than your own biological sister. Amen. It's possible. Let it aside. Stop letting things eat at you. Have you ever heard of the word forgiveness? Be kind one to another, wrote Paul to the Ephesians. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. We've had a lot of forgiveness, a lot of mercy. I often say to my students when they don't hand in their work on time and I let them hand it in late, I say to them, I live by one motto, when in doubt, show mercy. So one student wrote who was about to graduate of what they'd learned most, and he said it was from Schwertjäger, as he called me, who said, when in doubt, show mercy. And he was very glad for the mercy that I had in fact showing him. I did that yesterday. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it went on and on. You open the door, you turn it and open the door and it'll be as right as rain. Here is unity, ladies. Do you have unity in your marriages? Even if you're with an unsaved man, strive to find as much in that you can do for him that will give you a united mindset as possible. Would you characterize your assemblies, your churches where you are, as united, unified, because of the love of Jesus Christ? But don't you be the one that causes it not to be. Amen. This is it, isn't it? very easy to talk about this, and it's much harder to practice it. Ask the Lord, what are we talking about? Hearts and minds. That is a mind control thing. You can choose with your mind not to badger someone, be it husband or someone in your assembly or a friend. Leave it. Pray and live a lot more winsomely. So what is the kind of mind that is in fact united? Well, verse 13, going back, it is a mind that is forward looking. It's focused on what's ahead, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Some of us, it's better not even thinking about the past. It won't be any good. You can't change it. You can correct it so it doesn't happen again. But there's nothing you can do to change what has already happened. I often say in my work that good history books are written about what happened. Not what could have happened, what should have happened. And especially when you go into military history, the great battles of the Second World War, good historians write what happened. Not what might have happened if General Patton had arrived a little bit ahead of whoever. It doesn't work that way. It's a great lesson. Same for our personal history. Deal with what your past history is. Deal with it. But don't let it cripple you so that you can't go on. And forget it then and move forward. Well, where is the best way to focus? Well, in verse 20, look at this. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that's where we're looking, ladies, right? For our answer. And, you know, sometimes we live like heaven is an afterthought of Scripture. It's not. I'll tell you what heaven is not. It is not a place where loved ones who have gone to be with Christ are looking down and at every football game they're clapping the one who's in it. I am amazed at how often one hears that. It doesn't work that way. Luke 16 tells us that there's a great gulf fixed between that world that lies beyond and our world. And there is no making it a sentimental place where there are people looking down. Heaven is total happiness. Can you imagine what our loved ones would feel like if they looked down and see the chaos that some of lives would be in? It doesn't bear thinking. So don't allow your mind to be thinking sentimental, essentially rubbish. It's not so. Heaven is reality. And preserve its reality in your thinking. Our loved ones who are with the Lord are at perfect peace and at rest. And we leave heaven with God. We have no idea how marvelous it's going to be. We know that because God's word says it. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we can leave that in peace. And you know what will help us? Lead better lives here. If we're leading lives that are pleasing to the Lord here and have loved ones in heaven, we don't need to be going around saying, did you see that? Heaven is reality. Ladies, God's peace is undisturbed by the circumstances of our life. His peace is eternal. And it was won at the cross for you and me. I would just like now, in very briefly, to look at, and I promise you I'll not do a Paul, finally my brethren, and then keep you for another half hour. I just want to sum it up in this last chapter that we haven't had time to go over in great detail. But he starts, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy. There's another one. Got that, girls? My joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. That's where my little son got that there were two women quarreling. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. It is such a lie that the Apostle Paul, and we were talking about it earlier, Moira and I, that the Apostle Paul was anti-women. That is just patently untrue. This man clearly had a very tender relationship with women. He thanks them for helping them in the gospel. He also, in his epistles, gives by the Holy Spirit clear guidelines for women's ministry, that women are not to teach men. But he gives such praise for women who have helped him in the gospel. It's very tender and very touching. So he implores. This is a verb that he hasn't used before. It is one of charging them with all the emotion that he can muster up, urging them, please be of one mind. I give that to you today. I ask you, since it's marvelous coming to a place where you don't know people, because you can be so free in your ministry. Clearly, these women needed to be corrected because of attitudes that were dividing the church. May God use us, women, that we never divide, but that we build up. Well, we need to keep on with our next piece of salad, and that is another let, and it's in verse 5. We have the rejoicing. This is a joyful letter, isn't it? He's filled with comfort. He loves these people. There is no theological correction, no doctrinal correction. There's conduct correction. And then he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. I submit to you that this is about Christian reputation. What's your reputation? Someone asked, what kind of a woman is that? Could they say of you, first and foremost, this is a very gentle woman? Be a high compliment. Do you want to be described a very opinionated, assertive woman? Well, you read Philippians. Get your conduct right, your attitude right, your unity right. And then I guarantee you, if you get to that point, that your gentleness will be known to all men. Another translation is moderation. Graciousness. It's all embodied in the original meaning. We need moderate people. There are a lot of very opinionated Christians who have taken very dogmatic stands on everything from A to Z. From schooling, to health, to the rearing of children or whatever. I just implore you, watch your stand. Don't be so dogmatic that you close down avenues to someone else. I'll give an example of schooling. My children started off in an integrated inner city school. The way it was. I bussed them, and it taught them to look at people with eyes that were not prejudiced. Those kids never forgot that. Some people choose to teach at home. That's fine. Pray for them. Some others choose public schools. Pray for them. I believe that Jade had all of you kids in the public school, Jade Nicholson. I remember him telling me one time over a cup of tea how he and his wife would go in there to the when they have their meetings with the parents, and what a wonderful opportunity it was to talk about the Lord. Some choose very exclusive private schools. My kids also had that at the for the 4 years of high school. It's fine. But I think we need, ladies, to give one another far more freedom. We know that there are bad things going on in society and the schools. But if God has led you, and how do you know? Not somebody else telling you. You find it prayerfully, and it may take you a long time, and you will be led. It won't be a voice saying, I want you to send her to Meadowview School. I guarantee you, it will match the scripture. You don't need to hear voices. You will find the affirmation and the confirmation by God the Holy Spirit leading you. I beg of all of us, may we leave here today much more gracious to one another, gentler about other people who have chosen in areas that are not, I hear you say, well, this is against scripture. Anything that is against scripture, you measure up with other scripture, obviously, first and foremost. But I think there are areas of our life where we make decisions that are our business. Paul writing to Thessalonians, what did he say? He said, I want you to work with your own hands, and I want you to mind your own business. And a couple of verses later, he told them and taught them that the Lord was coming. So in other words, he took a very ordinary bit of advice, mind your own business. And then he said, the Lord's coming. It's all right, isn't it, sister? And finally, my last letter, which is our theme verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our last let is a privilege. We have the privilege of coming into the presence of the Almighty God of heaven and letting our requests be made known to him. What are your requests? Line them up. Take them to the Lord. And you will find, like Paul, you're going to be doing an awful lot of finally, Lord. It may take you forever. And may those requests make your hearts rejoice and enjoy the Lord as you never have. Don't hesitate to tell God all your needs. And then Paul ends with some practical hints in dealing with your thought life. How's your thought life? Maybe you have good Christian conduct. Maybe your attitude is really positive. Maybe you're not bad on the unity front. Maybe you're a pretty gracious person. But your thought life is out of control. Well, here's practical hints of keeping it under control. Isn't this a practical letter? Look what he says. He says, whatever things, verse 8, are pure, lovely, good report, if there's anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Find something to put your mind around that is filled with beauty. If it's this campsite as you go home, that God created these incredible hills, these trees with all their colors, find yourself more and more praising him and thanking him. And you can control your thoughts. And then he ends with some personal items, typical of a letter. He says, in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. The Lord met his needs in prison. He's grateful. The church has sent him funds through Epaphroditus. And he is sending word back by Timothy to those dear ones in Philippi that all is well. Verse 19 says, And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Ladies, take that grace home. Satan can do us a lot of damage. He can put old snakes around us. But there's one thing that Satan never and never will understand, and that's grace. He doesn't know what grace is. Don't be terrified by him. He doesn't understand grace, but we do. So may God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon all of us. Sisters, would you like me to close in prayer? Is that all right? Father, we commit this weekend to your care. We ask you to bless these dear, dear women. Oh, Father, we would ask there might be changed lives because there are changed attitudes and changed conduct and a changed idea of the responsibility for unity. And Lord, that we might be made more gentle in Christ. And Father, that we will learn to let our requests be made known to you. On that note, Lord, we would request that you would take those of us who have traveled distant roads back home safely. We pray that you'd send angels to guard us as we drive. We do pray for this camp again. We commit it to you and the ministry, those that work here. Oh God, encourage them. And Father, grant in your great mercy that we may see one another again and that we may often be reminded to pray for one another in the days ahead. We praise you and thank you for meeting our needs this day. And Father, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And we shall give you all the praise and glory in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Thank you.